So I want to share with you a vision of, to try and make it real, what is it like with an open, awakened heart, mind to walk through the streets of Tel Aviv? What is it like? And I can share with you the sense that it is like everything has a song. The tree that you pass by on the street is singing its song, is telling you its story. The small boy that you pass on the street, the dog that you pass on the street, the cat running across, the old lady that has just come out of her place and you can feel her loneliness, your body, the driver of the bus, everyone is in a way singing their song. They're expressing their life. And it's not separate from you. It is the voices that you pick up, you feel, and you are part of it. You're not different. So all the songs are singing together. It's like a symphony. And it's that kind of movement that when we are practicing in daily life, we're going in that direction where our heart is open and listening and our mind is open and listening and we feel connected and are there and awake and present in what's really happening in this moment. All the songs of all the beings that are singing together. The practice has to be in daily life. We live daily life 24 hours. A retreat, we can manage to kind of schlep ourselves to get to a retreat once pamba, every now and then. We can't afford that our practice stay is depending on retreats. And so I want to talk a little bit about how to shift. What sort of practice, what are we talking about? So a lot of what Simi has already said it, but I want to just give another side to this. The first thing to remember, and the most important thing, is that what carries us through is intention. Hitkavnut. Intention. The Buddha said, bend your mind to awakening. He didn't say, fix yourself. He didn't say, you're only worth something if you practice mindfulness. He didn't say, you have to do this course or another. He said, bend your mind to awakening. This means that there's something that's all the time working through us. I would say we don't own it because it's a voice in us that is bigger than us. We don't own awakening. Awakening is, in a way, owning us. But we are allowing that deep motivation, the highest motivation, to keep working in us and moving us where we have all the time choices, we go there. All the time a choice, we go there. It's a very open situation. It doesn't mean that if you meditate, you don't meditate every morning, you're a total failure. It doesn't mean that. So of course, sitting every morning is great. And I can tell you that if you do manage to sit every morning, your day will be different. But I'm just trying to express something that the Dharma is much bigger than whether you sit every morning or not, or whether you practice mindfulness or not, or how your mindfulness practice is or is not, or whether your sitting is painful or pleasant or nice or concentrated or not concentrated. Something bigger than moving us. So the first thing we have to understand is that we shouldn't measure anything. So of course a retreat is a special kind of hothouse, ma'abada, hothouse, sirulachatz, I feel it's a little bit concentration on practice. And it's this dream. We're dreaming this dream right now. We're now going out into another dream called daily life. This dream has its qualities, daily life has other qualities. The first thing to remember is don't measure anything. Don't go out into daily life and say, oh, my concentration is, oh, my heart is not open, my practice is not working, the whole thing doesn't work, I just have to wait until the next retreat and then I'm practice Dharma again. We don't measure. We don't need to measure. Daily life is a condition that creates results, and a retreat is a condition that creates results. And our wisdom, the wisdom of the Dharma, says we are with those conditions as they are. So, yeah, our sitting in the morning, if we sit in the morning at home, may be just packed with thought. We may be processing so much stuff that has come through us that all we can do in the morning when we sit is just have loads and loads of tasritim, of scenarios and noise in the mind. It's okay. That's the condition. And we just allow that. A retreat is one condition, daily life is another condition. We allow them to be different. We don't need to measure. Don't need to compare. My own, a small tip about sitting every day, one thing I think is important, and it's in a way, in this retreat we were talking about this, which is to be soft. Because there is a tendency in the Western world to treat everything as a kind of cheder kosher. And so sitting becomes another duty. On the to-do list we tick, we sat, we didn't sit. Okay, then I've got to get the kids to school, and then I've got to go to work, and then I've got to, then where's the sitting going to be in that? Oh, well, I can die. Just, no, feel that the sitting in the morning or in the evening or wherever you can do it is just a joy. So it's not in the category of to-do list, and it's not in the category of something I ought to do and something is good for me to do and something I need to do, otherwise I'll go crazy. It's just joy to gather ourselves, heart and mind, together. We can feel it like resting, stopping, like Angulimala. Stop, stop, just stop. And so don't make pressure around sitting. It should be joyful and easy, and don't care so much what happens. It will be all right. Of course it's helpful, connect with the body and connect with the heart. So as you sit, you know, feel comfortable, feel at ease, feel it's a rest, feel relaxed, and feel it's a gift I give to myself, but not a training that I have to push myself, because then people give up. It feels like one more, like I say, cheder kosher story. I recommend a lot of learning. Do read, do go to groups, do keep learning, because what's happened here, like the Buddha said, in this retreat, it's a handful of leaves. But the forest, how many leaves are there in the forest? The whole Dharma is huge, is vast. And so do keep expanding the horizon, learning about the Dharma in so many different ways. It's a beautiful journey. It's almost like the journey. So regard the learning as important. So if the practice, the intensity of practice goes when you go out into different conditions, daily life conditions, what stays? And I think what I feel is really a powerful message is that the Dharma, and I would say all spiritual life, which doesn't have to be Buddhist, but it has to be authentic. That means transformative, making real change in the being. All authentic spiritual growth or transformation or practice is in the end a changing of view. It changes a point of view. That changes every time we go on a retreat. It may be light, it may not be very dramatic, because a point of view, we might not notice it so much. But it's one of the things that will stay with us because we look things differently. Just for example, we acknowledge the language of the heart more in this retreat. We take responsibility, we take a little bit more interest in what our heart is saying. That's a view, it's a point of view. I'm not just closed in the mind and in the thought, I'm also got a point of view of the heart. I'm also got a point of view of life and not just of me. We are bigger than the point of view of just me and my interests. That's something that's subtle, but it stays. A bigger point of view, a softer point of view, a kinder point of view. All these things can stay with us, whether we, whatever our practice is in our daily life, this is what stays, the point of view, and it's the first of the Eightfold Path. What changes from a whole life of spirituality in the Eightfold Path of the Buddha is the view, Mispar Echad. It all feeds back into a view. Two more things I want to say. One is that we're very supported in this by our the view or the way that we look and we see reality tends to be drawing us or pulling us more into a world of truth and not a world of illusion. A world of truth, we've been expressing that. All the teachers here have been expressing that all the way through, and you've been practicing it. I know truth is a big word, and actually I don't like the word very much, and it's not used so much in the Dharma, truth, because it pulls us into a place, there is a truth and there is not a truth. Nevertheless, there is delusion, one of the three poisons, illusion. By the truth I mean that if we open our eyes, we'll see things much more closely and intimately as they really are. That's the word Dharma, is seeing things as they really are, the way things really are. And just think, what's been happening here is we've been pushing boundaries. So a boundary is in the heart, I will only like those people that like me. You know, conditioned love. We're pushing the boundary towards unconditioned love. But unconditioned love is in the nature of reality. It's what's holding everything together. So we're closer to something which is in the nature of reality. Dana, mentioned it yesterday, is in the nature of reality. Everything is giving to everything else. Every tree is giving to the earth. Every earth is giving to the tree. We're closer to reality. So just feel that the wisdom and the heart, as we go out into life, we're on a path that is bringing us more intimately with what is. And because it's closer to what is and not living in illusion and delusion, that's the joy. We live with joy because we're closer to the truth. Giving, we said yesterday, dana, giving and receiving, is just joyful, because the life is like that. So we feel fitting to life. We feel closer to life. And there's joy. Instead of illusion, which is, I want more for myself, myself, myself. It's illusion. It's not in life. Tree doesn't say it. And the truth doesn't care so much for us. I'm afraid to say. The truth is rather beyond. It doesn't. The truth is there, but it doesn't really care that much about us, I'm afraid. If we think we get, you know, we're closer to the truth, and then the truth will kind of give us glidot, ice creams. The truth is just living close to the truth. That's enough. That's the benefit. Okay, so I think I'll stop with that. And just one last sentence. When we're moving into daily life and our practice in daily life or our point of view in daily life, it's important to understand that we actually live in little things. Life is lived in small moments. Life is not our kind of parshanut, our commentary, our kind of view of, oh, it's like that, or it's like that. I mean, think of the sources of conflict. Conflict between people, between groups, between peoples, between nations, is taking a view, they're the enemy. The small moment is, who is the enemy? Can I look at them in the eyes? There's a boy. Is he an enemy? And same with every situation in life. If we do a kind of the awareness and the heart opens small things. We live in small moments. And we kind of keep coming back to that place of practice. What is the moment? What is the real experience of this moment? What is my life in this day? How am I right now? What is the qualities I'm manifesting right now in this moment? If we keep in the kind of resolutio, shall devarim katanim, we live in small moments. That's our real life. And there we'll basically be all right. It's the big picture that we have of the views and the opinions and the, you know, and the statements and the summaries and the sikumim and so on give us trouble. But opening our eyes and our heart to small moments, we're drawn into a world of intimacy, and that world of intimacy is where things are really okay. It's again a truth. So that's what I want to say about daily life practice, and a couple of personal things about my own teaching. I'm starting more teaching online, and it's really great. I had resistance at first, and I thought, "Well, what's this teaching through a computer? Mazeh." But then all of a sudden, I've done two courses online, and I realized how amazing it is to visit people in their homes. There was one lady who had a bad back, lying down, and I kind of found myself next to her on her bed. Giving Dharma. And people in America and Africa. And so it was so lovely. And I'm sure the Buddha would have taught like that, because the Buddha said, teach in the language and the form of the society that you go into. That's, he said to his monks, teach in the language of the day. And so I think the computer is the language of the day, fine. And it helps me a lot, because I don't have to travel from Kleel to Tel Aviv every time. So I'm teaching more online next year, and keep an eye open on Tovana. But there is a daf in the dining hall that you can put your name, and then I will send you, it's a mailing list, I will send you information on online teaching and on my courses. Second thing I want to say is that Mashiv Nefesh in Kleel, such a beautiful place. There's nothing like it, I think, in Israel. It's come to be so beautiful now. It's a Dharma community. It's not in total silence. It's not a meditation retreat. it's an eightfold path. It's living the Dharma life. There's practice, there's sitting, there's dialogue, there's cooking, there's gardening, there's ecology, there's being together, there's a sangha, sometimes there's retreats and courses, and it's a small community, and you're really welcome. Look up Mashiv Nefesh and look up the website. I teach there, Iran teaches there here and now and then. Just be aware that it's there. It's a beautiful retreat, little retreat center in the middle of Klil. It's great. It's very simple, though. You have to be prepared to, you know, even less than India style. You might well be in a tent. Just be aware. We don't have accommodation there. It's living very, very close to the land, under the olive trees, and it's a beautiful place. So that's another thing. Third thing I want to say is my book is available in the dining hall. Keep an eye on my Facebook page. That's where all the pub events. I'm doing one on Tuesday in Tel Aviv and another pub on Dharma and relationships. It's crazy and wonderful and unique and just amazing that a pub full of 150 people and a lot of people usually just goes into total silence for 15 minutes with their beer in front on the table. And I give guided meditation and everyone goes in, and it's like, you know, the Sleeping Beauty, that story where the whole palace suddenly goes into deep quiet. It's like that. So keep an eye on Facebook. That's about my stories. So, Yahel.
אז קצת על דרמה ביום יום. עוד קצת על דרמה ביום יום. לא שומעים את העונה. דבר אחד שיכול להיות מאוד מועיל ביום יום זה כל הסוגיה של סילה שהזכרתי בהתחלה. סוגיה של אתיקה. ויש את החמישה כללים האלה שהזכרנו בתחילת הריטריט. אז הם ממש ממש עוזרים להחזיק יום יום של דרמה. להחליט לא לשקר. אתה צריך למצוא כל מיני טריקים כדי לא להגיד תמיד את כל האמת. לפעמים. אתה צריך להגיד הכל. אבל זה ממש אימון להחליט שאתה לא משקר יותר. זה פשוט לא קורה. וזה ממש עושה הרבה. זה ממש עושה הרבה. זה עוטף את כל היום יום בתוך חוויה של דרמה, בתוך חוויה של תרגול, של אחריות שלך על התודעה, כי אתה כל הזמן צריך להיות בעמדה של לבדוק עם עצמך מה אני אומר, ואיך אני אומר את זה ולשמה. אז לשמור על דיבור נכון. בכל חמשת האספקטים האלה, הימנעות מחומרים מערפלי תודעה, אז איך אני במהלך יומיום משאיר את התודעה שלי פנויה ונקייה, גם בשבילי, אבל גם בשביל אנשים אחרים. כי אם אני רוצה לשרת באמת בעולם הזה, אני צריך תודעה שתהיה מסוגלת לשרת. אז איך אני משאיר אותה פנויה מספיק ונקייה מספיק? עושה שימוש נבון במכשירים האלקטרונים, מערפלי התודעה. שומר על התודעה שלי. עוד אספקט של סילה זה האספקט של מה אני כן בוחר לעשות ומה אני כן בוחר לבטא בחיים שלי. סטיבן דיבר על, על האפשרות של טרנספורמציה של הוויו של מי אני בעולם. הטרנספורמציה של הוויו, של ההשקפה של מי אני בעולם, יכולה להתאמך מאוד על ידי פעולות. אז פעולות של נדיבות, פעולות של לבחור להנגיש את הכוחות שלי, לבטא את הכוחות שלי עבור מה שבאמת חשוב בעולם. זה תומך בשינוי של הוויו. אם אני מתנהל בעולם וכל הפעולות שלי מוכוונות למה אני רוצה, מה אני רוצה לקבל ואיך אני אנצל אחרים בדרך היעילה ביותר, אז אני יכול לשבת הרבה ריטריטים. אבל משהו בוויו, בתחושה של מי אני בעולם, שוקע ומתקבע והופך לאמיתי עבורי דרך הפעולות. אז עד כמה שאפשר, וכמובן זה תהליך ומסע ותרגול, אבל לשאול את עצמך איך הפעולות שלי, איך הכושרים שלי, האיכויות שלי, יכולות לשרת את מה שחשוב בעולם הזה. זה הפן של סילה. אין בו שום דבר פחות חשוב מפנים האחרים. הפן של סמאדי, אז אני רק אתייחס אליו בזווית אחת. איך נאמר? התודעה שלנו כאנשים, אחת המתנות הגדולות שאנחנו זוכים בהן, ואחת האחריות הגדולות שלנו, זה שהתודעה שלנו היא מאוד מאוד גמישה. אז כשנולד חתול, אתה פחות או יותר יכול להעריך מה הספקטרום האפשרויות שיש שם. אצלנו כאנשים ספקטרום האפשרויות הוא מאוד רחב. אנחנו יכולים לייצר גן עדן ואנחנו יכולים לייצר גיהנום. אנחנו יכולים לעשות זה לאחרים, לייצר גן עדן או גיהנום לאחרים, ואנחנו יכולים לייצר גן עדן או גיהנום לעצמנו. ולכן תרגול פורמלי זה אחריות עליונה מבחינתי, בעיניי. עכשיו, בסדר, אני לא רוצה להיות קשוח מדי, וכמובן זה לא תמיד מתאפשר, אבל אחריות על התודעה ועל מה שהיא מייצרת, זאת מבחינתי אחריות עליונה של האדם על עצמו. אתה אחראי על מה שהתודעה שלך מייצרת, מתדרת, כמו שסימי אמרה, לעצמך ולאחרים. עכשיו, אתה לא תמיד יכול לעשות, אתה לא תמיד יכול לשלוט, אתה לא תמיד יכול לקחת אחריות, אבל אתה יכול להתכוון, אתה יכול לנסות, אתה יכול להצמיח את המקום בך שמבקש להטיב ושאכפת לו איכשהו. אז הישיבה הפורמלית או התרגול, זה המקום שבו אתה דואג להביא את תשומת הלב, להביא את הכוונה הנכונה ולהביא אכפתיות למה שהתודעה שלך מייצרת, למה שהקיום שלך מייצר. בהקשר הזה זה גם ממש חשוב, איך נאמר? זו סוגיה מאוד חשובה, את מי אתה פוגש ומה המסגרות שאתה מקיף את עצמך בהן ביום יום. ולכן קבוצות ישיבה, קורסים שתובנה היום משופעת בהן, יש הרבה קבוצות ישיבה בהרבה מקומות, קבוצות מונחות על ידי מנחים של תובנה, ויש הרבה מאוד קורסים עירוניים. אז זה מקום שבו אנחנו יכולים לשים את התודעה שלנו במרחב שבו היא מתחככת עם תודעות שמצמיחות באיכויות יפות. פשוט מעצם הכוונה המשותפת לעשות את זה, ומעצם התחושה של זה מה שבאנו לעשות ביחד, באנו לטפח איכויות יפות של לב ותודעה. זה ממש חשוב, ממש חשוב. אוקיי, אז אנחנו יכולים לעשות הרבה לבד, וברובד מסוים לא האחריות היא עלינו למה שהתודעה שלנו מייצרת, אבל ברובד אחר האנשים שאנחנו פוגשים, הדברים שבהם אנחנו בוחרים להזין את התודעה שלנו, גם אנשים ממשיים וגם תודעות שמשודרות אלינו דרך אמצעי התקשורת או ספרים ודברים אחרים, הם אלה שירבו את העולם הפנימי. אז שווה לדאוג להזנה טובה עבור העולם הפנימי שלנו. זה מעשה מאוד מאוד חשוב של חמלה ושל החזקה שאנחנו יכולים לתת לעצמם. אולי אני אגיד על זה עוד טיפה, ואז אני אוסיף עוד משהו קטן. אז על זה אני רק אגיד, באמת יש הרבה. ופשוט שווה להיכנס לאתר אפילו מיד אחרי הריטריט. כלומר, כשאתם יוצאים מהריטריט, שהתודעה עוד מכווננת לזה, לפתוח את האתר של תובנה ולראות, אוקיי, מה יכול להחזיק אותי עד כמה שאני יכול, מה יכול לעזור לי בשנה הקרובה לטפח מרחב שבו התודעה שלי והלב שלי מוקפים בדרמה, שואבים דרמה, נותנים דרמה. דבר מאוד מאוד יפה, מאוד יקר, שרק בשנים האחרונות כזה, בטח היה לפני, אבל בשנים האחרונות יותר ויותר אפשרי מבחינת מה שמוצא. אני כן אגיד, כאילו אם הדרמה קורית, התרגול הרוחני העמוק קורה ללב שלכם, אז יש משהו בלהזין את הקריאה הזאת, בלבטוח בה, בלהזין אותה, בלבוא לריטריטים, בללכת לקבוצות, בלקרוא דברים, בלשמוע דברים, ולתת לזה לטפח את מה שסטיבן דיבר עליו כקרבה לאמת, היא תרגיש קצת אחרת בשביל כל אחד, בהתאם לכמיהה שלו ובהתאם לצורה שיש לו בעולם הזה, אבל יש בה מקור להרבה מאוד יופי. זה פשוט לעודד את הטיפוח של התנועה הזאת.
I wonder if we should say more about practical things.
היה פה שני רטריטים, לא אחד. הרטריט שירות ורטריט בשתיקה. ושני רטריטים שווים. אין... הרטריט בשתיקה זה יותר חשוב, יותר עמוק, יותר...